Hey, listeners, I'm Sean Majumder. This is number 0259, the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File Program, number 0259. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File Program, we have a visit from actress Dee Wallace, best known as Elliot's mom in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. She's working with Steven Spielberg for the first time since that film on a new ABC series called The Whispers.
They called, and I think, you know, to tell you the truth, they added the part at the last minute on the pilot, and I was lucky enough to be the first one they thought of, I hope, and went in and did the little part, and they wanted to keep it in the series. So far, I'm back for another couple, and then we'll see.
Science writer Andrew Vazekas, the night sky guy, is back to talk about a recent discovery of radio signals from outer space.
It is a very long distance call. We're talking billions of light years away. But in fact, it seems to be natural. So we don't think it's an ET, actually, detection, but it's some kind of natural source that's causing these signals that last for something like 3/1,000th of a second. I mean, this thing is so quick, these signals, that really the human ear can't really hear it.
Garth Sundum, author of Beyond IQ.
I don't want to defame IQ. I mean, IQ is important, but the thing is it's about 85% genetically determined. And then, you know, by the time you're an adult, you have pretty much maximized your IQ. You're within a couple points of where you are ever going to be. So if you want to, as an adult, learn to use your brain better, you need to look beyond IQ.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day, the guest later. The person who told you this was show number 0259 was actor and comic Sean Majumder, one of the stars of CBC's This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which this year is celebrating its 22nd year. Coincidence. He's also the host of Just for Laughs' SiriusXM satellite radio show called Celebrity DJ, which will be going on the air later this year. And by the way, that's a program that I just happen to be the producer of. Thank you very much, Sean, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File Program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? A Polish priest claims that an evil spirit has taken over the body of a teenager and that the demon within the girl is sending him nasty text messages. Father Marian Rachel performed an exorcism on the girl. Now, he claims the text started coming shortly thereafter. The exorcism obviously didn't take. The author of these texts is an evil spirit who has possessed her soul, the priest told local media members. Clearly, this young girl has been possessed and needs further help. Father Rachel says that it's not uncommon for demons to possess people's possess people, through the use of their wireless technology. Really? This is the first time I'm hearing about it. Anyway, she will not come out of this hell. She's mine. Anyone who prays for her will die, read one of the messages from the girl. Shut up, preacher. You cannot save yourself. Idiot. You pathetic old preacher, said another. Wow, Satan's got a grudge, don't you think? I'm also wondering what Satan's roaming charges must be like. Oh, who am I kidding? Satan probably has a preferential rate, you know, as a professional courtesy from the phone companies. Anyway, we'll follow that story and see where it goes. Those are some really long-distance calls, aren't they? Moving right along, an Ohio woman claimed that a dream about filleting a fish led her to slit her husband's throat while he slept at their home. Judy Jones, was charged with attempted murder and aggravated assault after she allegedly nearly killed her husband, that would be 49-year-old Thomas Jones, by cutting his throat from ear to ear. It's believed that the husband would have died if Jones's 16-year-old daughter had not called 911 immediately and summoned emergency help. The couple's daughter reportedly told investigators that her mother had been planning the covert attack for about a year. 44-year-old Judy eventually admitted to trying to kill her husband, according to police. Now, according to Jefferson County Sheriff Fred Abdella, he's got stitches from almost ear to ear, so we have to wait for it to go through the court system. Yeah. Apparently, the daughter didn't think the information about his impending assassination was important enough to share with her father. I mean, if this was something that the mother was planning for a year and apparently she knew about it. Yeah, this should make for some interesting holiday discussions and reminiscences during the Christmas meal for years to come, don't you think? Yeah. Let's go to Scotland for our next story, shall we? Thomson Airways flight from Tunisia to Edinburgh was diverted to London after a drunken passenger allegedly attacked crew members with her prosthetic leg. The woman told the flight crew that she wanted cigarettes and a parachute. When they asked her to hush up, she allegedly slapped a little girl and then started swinging with her leg. "We were coming back from Tunisia when this lady kicked off. She was off her face on drink," said one witness by the name of John Smith, if that is indeed his real name. "She slapped a young girl and then assaulted the cabin crew with her prosthetic leg. They took it off her, but she started kicking them with her good leg." Now, you see, that's kind of prejudicial. Just because she has a prosthetic leg doesn't mean that's her good leg or her bad leg. Prosthetic leg is a good leg, too, but I digress. Anyway, the 48-year-old was subdued and the pilot made an emergency landing in London. The woman was removed by police for questioning. "It sounds funny, but it was not a laughing matter at the time. It was serious. She was totally drunk. It was pretty shocking," Smith said. Well, there are a lot of witnesses for this case, so I'm guessing legally this woman doesn't have a leg to stand on. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, by its very name, the Environmental Protection Agency should be looking out for what's best for the planet, working hard to keep it clean and sanitary as humanely possible. But that doesn't seem to always be the case. While they may do good work, they sometimes seem to have some bizarre work habits or lack thereof within their offices. You may remember the story we told you about a while back about a secret goofing off man cave that one EPA contractor had back in July of 2013. You may also recall that in September of last year, a certain EPA executive skipped agency work for months by claiming falsely that he was on a secret CIA mission, or at least several secret CIA missions. Well, those two clowns pale in comparison with what's going on at the EPA's Denver regional office. They took it to a whole new level this past June. Now remember, their name is EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, their mandate to protect the environment and human health. Now in a leaked memo, the Denver deputy director implored employees to end the practice of leaving feces in the office's hallway. The memo referred to several incidents. Okay, just who the heck are these people hiring? I mean, talk about the cobbler's children going without shoes. Yikes! Feces in the hallways? At the EPA? I don't know. Anyway, let's get to our first guest on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? Actress Dee Wallace is a very busy lady these days. In addition to a recent recurring role on NBC's Grimm, she has just signed on in a recurring role on ABC's The Whispers, which reunites her with Steven Spielberg for the first time since making E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And if that's not enough, she has two new e-books out, Wake Up Now, a book of universal truths, and Getting Stuff, Everything is Possible. With her extremely packed schedule, we're extremely lucky enough to have a few minutes with Dee, and she joins us on the line right now from California. Hi, Dee.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
Thanks. Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Now, again, as I said, you're just a very, very busy lady. But let's start off with the fact that you just recently signed to work with Steven Spielberg again. How did that come about?
Well, they called and I think, you know, to tell you the truth, they added the part at the last minute on the pilot. And I was lucky enough to be the first one they thought of, I hope. You never know, you know. And went in and did the little part, and they wanted to keep it in the series. So far, I'm back for another couple, and then we'll see.
What is the role you're playing?
I play Grammy. Yes, I have graduated from E.T.'s mom to Grammy, you know. I'm always going to be somebody's mother, it seems. That I'm destined in my career, other than the Frighteners, to be the mom all the time. It's okay with me. It works for me.
I know this is a slightly scary story, so are you still the queen of Scream?
Well, I hope I'll always be the queen of Scream. I'm not screaming a lot in this one yet. You know, I can't give away a lot about it, but let's just say it's going to be one intense ride for everybody.
Okay. So that's a new show that's coming up. With that coming up, does that mean you won't be doing any more episodes of Grimm?
Oh, I certainly hope not. I actually talked to one of the producers the other day, and she said, oh, absolutely not. You know, we hope you're back, and we want you back, and I certainly hope I'm back. I love my part on Grimm. I feel like you're a real part of the family there. And I would like to tap dance between the two of them. A lot of actors do that these days.
Again, on Grimm, you play a mother, but a mother of a different kind.
Indeed, yes. I turn into one monster, don't I? And, you know, we have no idea what we look like as our species until we actually see it on camera. So I had no idea. I said, really, guys, you had to give me such a pointy chin. Really, you know, and a big pointy nose. I look really witchy. But it's all done with CGI. And of course, they don't have time to, you know, it'd be impossible to do the makeup every episode. So, I was just looking forward to seeing what I actually looked like when I turned. But, you know, you really do feel stupid being a cute little perky blonde on the set, turning into these monsters and everybody's laughing, you know. We have a great time on that show. Great cast, great producers. It's a fun ride.
Now, I mentioned that you also have a couple of new books out. We spoke to you the last time. You had a book out a couple of years ago now, but now you have two new e-books coming out. Tell us about it, starting off with Wake Up Now, a book of universal truths.
Wake Up Now is a collection of weekly e-blasts that I send out, and a lot of my clients, maybe your listeners don't know, I do a lot of healing work, which is, I know, kind of an oxymoron because I'm a scream queen who is also a healer. But that's who I am. And a lot of my clients said, oh, my God, because they're all channeled articles about different things that the universe and the collective consciousness are going through. You should put these together in a book. So I did. And Getting Stuff, the other book that's out, is all channeled information. Very easy read, really simple, kind of the way I'm talking now, just really understandable way for anybody to kind of put together everything about the creation process in a really easy to read, simple way.
Well, you know, you said it was kind of odd that, you know, you're the queen of Scream and you're also, you also write these books and you're also a healer. In a way, because you're an actress and you get to scream a lot, isn't that kind of cathartic and a release? I mean, you're screaming and, you know, on set, and you're working as an actress, but you're not really in terrifying situations. That's got to be releasing in some way.
Well, yeah, it's fun. It's a ride, you know, if you like to act, which I do. It also, you know, I said to one of the guys, I've been studying fear all my whole career. So turning into a healer, which I had no plans on doing, believe me. If you'd asked me 25 years ago, do you think you'll be a healer in your life? I would have gone, are you? What do you want? Can I ask them? But, you know, you open yourself up. You ask. When I lost my husband and he died, I just said, man, I want a way we can heal ourselves and be happy. And within seconds, I was hearing messages. It was kind of like a movie, actually. But, you know, I can tell you unconditionally that the biggest monster we're running away from is ourselves and our own fears and our lack of consciousness. And once we know that, man, we're in charge of it all because we've got the free will to do that, then a lot of the scary, a lot of the boogeymen go away
Our lives. And we should mention, since you brought it up, your husband is the late Christopher Stone, who was an amazing actor in his own right.
Oh, thank you so much.
And your dad, your daughter's not doing too badly either.
No, she's done 6 movies this year. She's done it all pretty much on her own. And I'm really proud of her. And now we're hot and heavy into wedding arrangements. She's just got engaged and she'll be married in a year. But she's off to do another movie on Monday. I said, well, good, honey, get to be a really big star, and then you can hire your mom in her old age.
And we should mention your daughter's name, Gabrielle Stone.
Yes, Gabrielle Stone.
Now, being the queen of scream in films and television, and being a healer, I have to ask you this. What scares you?
Getting old.
Really?
Yeah, really. Well, no. Not getting old, getting old and perhaps losing my health and my faculties. I don't ever want to go there. Don't put me in a home. Just, you know, take me out back and shoot me. I'll be a lot happier. And that's certainly one thing that every day I try and I work on bringing myself back in harmony with, because I know what you focus on is what you create. So I continually work on bringing my focus back to knowing that I am very clear and very healthy and don't leave until I choose to leave. And when I choose to leave, doesn't mean I have to be out of good health mentally or physically to do that.
You worked with Steven Spielberg oh so many years ago on E.T., The Extraterrestrial. You've now come full circle. You're working with Steven again. And in between, you've done so much. Is there anything in your career you haven't done that you'd like to do?
You know, I haven't played a nun. And don't ask me why I want to play a nun. I've always wanted to play a nun. But a challenge nun. A nun that's questioning herself and what she knows and questioning the truth. Got me. Maybe it was an actress in another life, and that's the one I won the Academy Award for. Who knows? But that, yeah, and I want to do Broadway. I was talking to my daughter over dinner, and she said, Mom, what are some of the things you've wanted to do in your life that you haven't done? And honestly, I can say that's the only one, is I haven't done Broadway. And I always wanted to do, not for a really long time, but, you know, if I could go into Chicago for 6 weeks, man, I'd love that. If I could play the aunt in Oklahoma, I'd love that. Yeah, just want to do. But I had my kid. I starred in the biggest blockbuster of all time. You know, I've written 5 books now. I have to say, most of the dreams that I've had in my life, and having my daughter was the biggest one, I've done. I mean, how many people can say that, you know? Sometimes they have to remind myself, really,
and
how much I've done.
and all that you've done, extremely well-deserved.
Oh, thank you.
Dee, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us. Again, people can look forward to seeing you, not only occasionally on NBC's Grimm when it starts back in the fall on the new season, but also on ABC's series The Whispers. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, so much fun. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Actress Dee Wallace. Her latest books are entitled Wake Up Now, A Book of Universal Truths, and Getting Stuff, Everything is Possible. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0259, and you'll find links to Dee's website, plus also links to Amazon.com, where you can order her books directly for the Kindle.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey. Your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
From the land that brought you maple syrup, poutine, ice hockey, and Pamela Anderson, this is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come in the program, we'll talk to Andrew Vizekas, the night sky guy, about some radio signals coming from outer space. Plus, author Garth Sundom is back on the program. His new book is called Beyond IQ. And, of course, we do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way. And, of course, lots more Stuff File news right here, right now, on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right back to the stuff, shall we? Ms. Milo Moore, a Swiss performance artist, startled and puzzled fairgoers at Germany's Art Cologne in April by creating a painting while standing on two ladders nude and expelling eggs filled with paint and ink from her vagina. Each plop egg canvas made what she called a powerful feminist statement about women, fertility, and creativity. In June, she attempted to tour Switzerland's Art Basel Fair wearing only the names of clothing items written on her nude body, for example, on her leg, the word pants. Officials told her to get dressed if she wanted to see the show. Okay, back to that plop egg for a moment. I mean, launching paint-filled eggs from her vagina onto a canvas. What do you think the ongoing thought process was like when she came up with that one? And do you think it involved medication or perhaps the lack of medication? Yeah. And speaking of art, for those of you who have difficulty understanding art and its value, you might want to sit down for this story. Now, critics praised bad girl British artist Tracy Emin's 1998 furniture and effects exhibit called My Bed, which supposedly represented a failed romantic relationship featuring mussed sheets and, littering the room, empty vodka bottles and used condoms. Well, back then, prominent collector Charles Saatchi turned heads when he bought the piece for the equivalent of about $200,000. Okay, so If you weren't familiar with this story already, then you're either shaking your head right now or sitting with your mouth gaping open. But wait, there's more. That work of art that sold for $200,000 15 years ago was sold again this June. Saatchi sold my bed at auction for the equivalent of $4,330,000. Yikes. And to think you make your kids clean up their room. Now, there's art gone to waste. Okay, one more art story, and this one comes under the heading of ironic art. In July, the large cement Humpty Dumpty at the Enchanted Forest in Salem, Oregon, created by Roger Toft way back in 1970, was destroyed when two intruders tried to climb the wall Humpty was sitting on. However, the wall crumbled and Humpty suffered a great fall, and Toft said he doubted he would be able to put Humpty back together again, but would try instead to make a new one. Well, maybe if he had the help of all the king's horses and all the king's men. Oh, never mind. Moving right along, facial recognition software, increasingly important to global anti-terrorism operations, is being brought to cats. Taiwanese developer Mu Chi Sung announced in July plans for marketing the software as part of a cat health device so that owners, especially those with multiple cats, can better monitor their cat's eating habits. Sung first had to overcome the problem of how to get the cat to stick its head through a slot in the feeder so the software could start to work. The device, with mobile apps for remote monitoring by the owner, will sell for about $250. Now, if you've listened to this show on a regular basis, you already know how I feel about cats. They're evil, little pieces of evil plotting against mankind. So, my thoughts are this guy who came up with facial recognition software for cats is not only cavorting with the enemy, but he also has way, way, way too much time on his hands. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, sheriff's deputies in Salina, Kansas, arrested Aaron Jansen, age 29, but not before he put on quite a show back on July the 5th. Jansen, speeding in a car spray-painted with derogatory comments about law enforcement, refused to pull over and even survived a series of tire-shredding road spikes as he turned into a soybean field where he revved the engine and drove in circles for 40 minutes. As deputies set up a perimeter, Jansen tossed items from the car, things like blankets, CDs, basically anything that was available inside the vehicle. And then, while the car was still moving, climbed out of the driver's door and briefly surfed on the roof. Now, finally, as deputies closed in, Jansen shouted a barrage of Bible verses before emerging from the car wearing a cowboy hat, boots, and a woman's dress. Wow, now that's entertainment. And if you were telling it as a joke, the only two words that you could end it with would be the aristocrats. And if you don't already know that joke, just simply Google it. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? Since 2001, the Parkes Radio Telescope in Australia has been picking up mysterious, unidentified bursts of energy that astronomers have since dubbed fast radio bursts. Now, at first, because no other telescope in the world had ever seen these bursts, it was assumed that these FRBs were probably just glitches in the telescope's electronics. But now, 13 years later, a telescope on the other side of the planet in Puerto Rico has detected the FRBs. So, what does this all mean? Well, that's a question we put to science writer Andrew Vizekas, the night sky guy. He joins us once again via Skype to Skype communications from right here in Montreal. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Peter.
So what do these FRBs mean, really? Is it someone finally returning ET's call to home?
Well, it is a very long distance call. We're talking billions of light years away. But in fact, it seems to be natural. So we don't think it's an ET actually detection, but it's some kind of natural source that's causing these these really signals that last for something like 3/1000th of a second. I mean, this thing is so quick, these signals, that really the human ear can't really hear it. But what's interesting is that it's really making quite a stir in the astronomical community, because it might very well be an unknown type of object. So it's definitely something they've never detected before. But what's very interesting is that this is the first time that a second telescope is confirming what the Parkes telescope has seen. It's been now confirmed by the Arecibo radio dish in Puerto Rico. This is a 300 meter wide radio telescope, the largest in the world. And Peter, what's so cool is it's literally built in to a valley of in between mountains. It's using the mountain sides around the valley as part of the dish. And it actually was made famous by that movie Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey a few years ago, based on Carl Sagan, the late astronomer's fictional book about detecting basically aliens. But this is a real instrument. It's exquisitely sensitive, and it can pick up these signals from literally across the universe. And it's so sensitive that these unknown signals, they produce as much energy as a single snowflake hitting the ground. So with that kind of exquisite sensitivity, we can really pick up very, very faint and quick signals. And that's what's happened here. But, there's still debate on what exactly this mysterious object is.
Well, as you said, it's a mysterious object. But also, since sound takes so long to travel, this is something that perhaps was there and is not there now, possibly?
Exactly, because space and time are completely interconnected when we're talking about space. Everything that you see in the sky, in terms of the night sky, when you look up at objects that are beyond our atmosphere, it takes a while for signals to get here. So just to put that into perspective, Peter, the closest object that we can see in the night sky, natural object, of course, is Earth's companion, the Moon. That is on an average distance of about 400,000 kilometers. It takes light bouncing off the surface, the sunlight bouncing off the surface of the Moon to reach your eye here on Earth. It takes about 1.5 seconds. So that means the Moon is 1.5 light seconds away. The sun is 8.5 light minutes away. It takes that long for the light from the sun to reach us. The planets, if we look at the planets, it takes maybe an hour and a half to get, say, from Jupiter or Saturn to here. Now, the closest star is 4 light years away from Earth. Here, these signals have literally traveled for 3 billion years, these signals. So literally, it's a good chunk of the width of the observable universe, which we're estimating is about 13, 14 billion light years wide.
Having said that, and for those who are always grasping at the idea that ET is out there, let's go on that assumption for a moment. Having said that, it proves that if there's anybody in our neighborhood, they're really, really, really far away.
Well, there's that potential, yeah. I mean, and what it also says is that we have the ability to detect, really, really far away signals, even if they were ET potentially. I mean, in this case, for an object that's 3 billion light years away and we can detect it, means that this object is extremely powerful, probably more powerful than what an alien civilization could produce in terms of a signal, generate that much energy to produce a signal. It's phenomenal. That's why we think it's very steady in pace. We have also found that these mysterious signals are coming from very different parts of the sky. They're very steady, which means that they're natural. We're pretty sure that they're natural. But if it was an ET out there, this is the scenario that what we've experienced here in the detection of this unknown signal is probably the same scenario in terms of finding an extraterrestrial signal. And if you talk to the leading experts, radio astronomers who spend their time looking for signals from potential alien civilizations out there, they would tell you that they think, you know, we're on the cusp of the possibly detecting them, because we're looking in so many different places with so many different instruments that it may happen. But at the same token, these astronomers are saying, it's probably, if we do detect an alien civilization, it probably won't the problem is that it won't happen during an actual search for ET signals. It'll happen when astronomers are looking, just surveying the sky, doing real, you know, it's like scientific work of looking at natural objects. And then, boom, by accident, they come across a funny signal. And that's what happened in this case. They came across this really weird signal. They could not know what it is. It was detected by this Australian telescope for years. Nobody else could detect it. They wrote it off. And then suddenly this new telescope, other telescope in Puerto Rico, the other side of the world, detected the same signal.
Okay, exactly. So
that proved that it was a real detection. And then the race was on to figure out what it was.
Okay, so let's bring it down to more earthly figures, you know, analogies, as it were. Would this be similar to you are the only person in North America and you receive some sort of radio signal from Australia and you wonder if there's anybody there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could take that analogy of, you know, exactly. And the thing is that nobody else is hearing the same signal, which is very funny. This is what was very left astronomers so skeptical about the signal, is that for years, only one radio telescope in the world could hear this signal. And that was, so they, most people in the community wrote it off as maybe something, some kind of communication phenomenon within our atmosphere of the Earth. You know, maybe a bouncing, an errant signal bouncing off the upper atmosphere. And that's what they were picking up. Not anything extraterrestrial.
Okay.
But because this other telescope now detected it, it proves that this is a real bona fide signal, and they could actually sort of triangulate it and figure out that it's 3 billion light years away.
Okay, so whether it's an ET or not, we don't know, but that's a signal that is coming in. Are we still sending signals out, or do we even have to with the population, the technology that we have on our planet these days? We have so much stuff that's naturally going out into space. But are we sending anything out hoping to reach someone still?
There are efforts. There have been some private efforts, basically campaigns where they've you know, done a signal back going, hearkening back to the early 1970s. But really, it's mostly we're listening. We're not really sending out anybody. Like NASA doesn't have any, you know, concerted effort of sending out signals. I mean, really, the only way is putting on a plaque, maybe on a that's what we've done a few times now, onto spacecrafts that we've sent out into the outer solar system, and they've traveled beyond, like the Voyagers, for instance, the twin Voyagers, and before them, the Pioneer spacecrafts. They have affixed to their side a plaque describing our planet, our species, and they're basically acting as ambassadors for our planet and our species, for maybe one day, if they would ever get picked up by an alien civilization, they would be able to see what our little corner of the universe was all about. But we're not really sending out signal, but naturally we are. We can't help it, because our radio and television signals are propagating throughout the cosmos. And it goes back to nearly 100 years now. So there's a radius, if you would, a bubble, about 100 light year wide bubble that surrounds the sun and the solar system, that if within that 100 light year radius there's any alien civilization that has a radio telescope technology, they could actually hear, you know, the first radio signals now. If there's anyone within, say, 30 light years away, they would be hearing the first episodes of Dallas and JR.
Fascinating.
Seeing those programs.
Fascinating, you know? Stuff indeed. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. People can find you by going to your website, which is thenightskyguy.com. And anything else?
Definitely. Folks can also check me out on National Geographic. I write their Starstruck column. They can see what's happening every week in the night sky. And I also write a general science column for Yahoo Canada, known as Geekonox. And they can see me every day talking about all kinds of things in science.
Thank you for being on the program once again, Andrew.
My pleasure.
Andrew Vizekas, the Night Sky Guy. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com. And, of course, you can find the link on my website at thestufffile.com. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRico-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. In the 1970s, baseball leagues for kids started using aluminum bats to save money and to increase safety. Wooden bats can become dangerous projectiles when they splinter and fly through the air. Aluminum bats don't do that. Despite the injuries that have been prevented by aluminum bats, manufacturers of these bats have been sued in recent years by lawyers who argue that the bats are defective. Why? Because they can hit a ball faster than wooden bats. In one case, lawyers convinced a jury that a bat maker should pay nearly $1 million to the family of a boy hit by a line drive. Yet, after an appeal, the verdict was overturned, and a federal court has said there's no proof that aluminum bats are any more dangerous than wooden ones. Let's be fair, the next thing we know, these lawyers will want leagues to use foam rubber bats. But baseball involves risk, just like everything else in life, and lawsuits like this won't make baseball better, just more expensive. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
Hi, this is Wynonna Judd, and you probably don't think of me as a person with an eating disorder, but here's my truth. Eating disorders are real, and they are not just about losing weight. Eating disorders are the way you feel about your body and the way you treat yourself. For years, I have been a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until its effects threatened my health, my family, and my career that I finally reached out for help. Recovering from an eating disorder is possible, and I'm living proof. But you have to take the first step, so I urge you to visit nationaleatingdisorders.org.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Viewer discretion is advised. But then again, why are you staring at a radio program?
And still to come on the program, we will talk to Garth Sundom, the author of Beyond IQ, and we do have an idiot of the day coming up a little later on the show, but right now we have more Stuff File news story. Okay, we have a Stuff File news story here on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And by the way, speaking of Stitcher, you know, you can download the free app today for Stitcher and listen anytime, anywhere. Stitcher is an award-winning free app that lets you listen to your favorite shows, plus discover new favorites from over 20,000 news, entertainment, and sports programs, including the Stuff File program. And by the way, if you listen already to the Stuff File program via Stitcher, please, please do me a favor and rate and review the show. Very much appreciate it. You know, it's also, Stitcher that is also in over 4 million car dashboards, and you can get on demand and on the go. There's no downloading, no syncing, no wasted memory. Just stream your favorite shows, podcasts, programs, whatever it might be, on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Anyway, one more Stuff File news story I want to share with you, and that story is the surveillance video in evidence in England's Wolverhampton Crown Court in July captured the entire caper of two young men comically failing to open a parking lot's automated cash machine 5 months earlier. Now, wearing hoods, they tried to batter the secure machine open, then tried to pull it away, but learned that it was rooted to an underground cable. Well, plan C involved getting in their Peugeot and ramming the machine, which did knock loose the money dispensing part, but also shredded part of the car's body. The dispenser, with the equivalent of about $1,500 in coins, fit in the car's front seat only after some exhaustive pushing and cramming, but finally the men drove off, with sparks flying as the weight of the coins made the crippled car scrape the pavement. Police arrived on the scene, and a brief chase ended with the car crashing into a wall. Final score, car totaled, money recovered, and Wesley Bristow, age 25, sentenced to 2 years in prison. Don't you wish that surveillance video was on YouTube? Oh, wait a minute, it's all there. And boy, it must have been a tough situation being on trial when the entire courtroom was busy laughing. What morons. I almost made this guy the idiot of the day, but I didn't. But that does come later on the program, so do stay tuned for that. Right now, though, let's get to our last guest and something much smarter than that. Garth Sundom has been on with us on the show on several occasions. We had him on when his book Brain Candy came out, and again when he released Brain Trust. Now he has a new one out called Beyond IQ. I sense a pattern here. Garth joins us on the line from Colorado via Skype to Skype communications. Hi, Garth.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us once again.
You are very welcome, and if I get to hear you say tickety-boo again, I will come back even another time.
Okay. With all the books that you've written so far, and you're dealing with the brain, and I'm just wondering, are there scientists waiting to analyze yours?
I haven't had any knocks on my door recently, but you know, if you ever want to have your brain analyzed, clinicaltrials.gov, you can click on there, and I'm sure that someone will be more than happy to look inside your skull.
Ooh, wow. I might just jot that one down. Now, what can one find beyond IQ? And first of all, I guess just by the title, there is something beyond IQ.
Well, so the thing is, you know, I don't want to defame IQ. I mean, IQ is important, but the thing is it's about 85% genetically determined. And then, you know, by the time you get to our school system, which is effectively designed to train IQ, by the time you're an adult, you have pretty much maximized your IQ. You're within a couple points of where you are ever going to be. So, you know, if you want to, as an adult, learn to use your brain better, you need to look beyond IQ. You need to look at things like wisdom and willpower and multitasking and expertise and all of these skills that are a little bit confounded with IQ, but these skills that can actually be trained even once you're an adult.
Okay, so what are some of the things people will find in the book Beyond IQ? I understand it's filled with simple pen and paper exercises that will help you?
Well, yeah, so I talked to a bunch of scientists, but, you know, I tried to make things not suck. So after talking to scientists, you know, I try to take these tests and games and you know, experiments from their journal articles and sort of transform them into things that will actually, you know, be moderately entertaining for people.
Right.
So there's information, but there's also games. You know, I like things like, I don't know, what are some of my favorites? I like insight because it's such a, you know, it's such a thing that we've all experienced. You know, you're standing in the shower and then suddenly, you know, you realize what to do with your life. And I realized after talking with folks that, you know, I had completely misconceptualized what insight is, you know, or how to get it. I always thought about, you know, trying to turn up the voice of insight in my brain, when in fact, insight is about inhibiting everything else. If you want insight, you can't do much of anything to turn up the voice of insight, but what you can do is turn off everything else. And that's what the shower does. That's what waking up in the middle of the night does. So instead of boosting the voice of insight, you can turn down everything else that's going on around you.
Okay, you just brought something up, which is something I've always been interested in talking about, and it's kind of off topic here, but you brought up the idea of thinking in the shower. and I've heard studies about this, and some people say it's bunk and some people say it's not. But why are people seem to be, or at least creative people seem to be more clear-headed in the shower?
Yeah, okay. So the word there is creative. You know, there's sort of two kinds of thinking. There's analytical cognitive thinking, and then there's this mishmash of insight and intuition and all of this, I don't know, thinking that goes on beneath your consciousness. Now, the shower, just to give an example, it will bring out this sort of second system of thinking, this intuitive, this intuition and insight will be boosted in the shower. Whereas what's funny is some people have found that, you know, analytical thinking is actually boosted by being in a bad mood. If you can be slightly in a bad mood, you can analyze situations better than you would if you were perfectly chippy and happy.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Hmm. But you know, so you know, if I can, let's talk about, you know, another one of these really cool topics I thought was intuition. And You know, this is another one of these. So when I wrote this book, all of these topics have been covered in kind of wishy-washy ways before, and I wanted to bring real science to these. So intuition, what it turns out it is it's the pairing of events. You know, you can think about it as cause and effect, or you can think about it as, you know, recognizing certain conditions that imply certain other conditions. The problem is our brain is really bad at, you know, this whole correlation and causation thing. So, you know, you can have correct intuitions like, oh, there's clouds in the sky and it's going to rain, or, you know, medical diagnosis has been, studied very, very thoroughly, where, you know, people see symptoms and they'll intuit a disease. But then intuition is also the basis of superstition. So, you know, you unfairly pair a black cat walking across your path with, you know, bad things happening. So the trick with intuition isn't necessarily training the correct intuitions, but learning to sort good intuitions from bad intuitions. You know, researchers call these kind and wicked training environments for intuition. So, you know, these things that we know, these things that we think we know, require evaluation. And I think if there's anything from Beyond IQ that I would take away, it's that there are ways to evaluate your own mind. There are ways to know if you are thinking correctly or incorrectly, and there are ways to transform from one to the other.
Okay, well, you talk about intuition, and when people bring up that word, they tend to divide it on gender traits, that women have more intuition than men. Is that true? False? What?
Well, true, but culturally constructed. So, yes, it probably is true in Western culture that women have been encouraged to depend on intuition more than men, and so, of course, they express it more. Is there a natural genetic difference in gender between intuition? No, absolutely not. And, you know, in the brain, in IQ and in all these topics, there's nature and there's nurture. And the, you know, one huge challenge of science right now is to disentangle those two. Intuition, no genetic difference. Cultural difference, definitely.
Now, one of the other things you talk about is creativity and willpower. How does willpower play into this?
Yeah, so willpower is interesting. There's two takes on willpower. One take on willpower is that it is a limited resource that you spend. And the other take on willpower is that it is an unlimited resource that you can always dig deeper to find more. Now, there's been some really cool research on both sides there. It comes down to what you believe. If you believe that your willpower is unlimited, you will be able to find more willpower. If you believe that your willpower is limited, then it gives you an excuse to not dig deeper. However, there's one thing you can do to hack this, and that is drink something sugary. In fMRI, brain scans, researchers can see glucose depleting in the brain as willpower goes down. If you want to boost your willpower, drink a Slurpee.
Okay. I'm sure there are dietitians out there right now who are just cringing at what you're saying.
I'm sure there are.
The book is called Beyond IQ. And as I mentioned earlier, there are pen and paper exercises that people can do from within the book. Are there other interactive things that they can do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not just pen and paper. There's all sorts of suggestions throughout the book for things you can do in your daily life, driving to work, in your car, at home, in the kitchen, that you can practice to use your brain better.
If only to remember all those passwords that we now have to live with on a daily basis.
No, I just forget all those. I can't get into anything anymore.
Okay. Garth, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for being on the show with us once again.
Thanks, Peter. Great to talk to you.
Garth Sundom, author of Beyond IQ. You can now go to my website at thestuffall.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0259, and you'll find the links to Garth's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
James Wood came home to find his house ransacked and his cash, credit cards, and watch missing. But his computer was still there and logged on to Facebook. Wood posted his phone number to the alleged burglar's profile, that of 26-year-old Nicholas Wigg, with a request for information leaving his phone number. Wigg himself contacted him. They agreed to meet. Wood said Wigg expected to trade some loot for some of the burglar's clothes that he'd left behind. Instead, Wood had called the police, who arrested Wigg. "World's dumbest criminal," Wood said. You got that right. Now why? Oh, why would someone who robbed someone's house agree online to meet up to swap stuff he left behind? Well, one reason, and one reason only. He's an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0259. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0259. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded in iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Today's broadcast could be heard directly in your home, car, or wireless device, or on your computer, so you can listen on an outpatient basis. For those of you hearing the show directly inside your head, please adjust your medication.